I want to draw your attention this morning to the fifth verse of Matthew 17, where God Almighty appeared in a bright cloud and spoke to Peter, James, and John and said this, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then he said a very powerful statement. Hear ye him. Now our Lord climbed this mountain and he took with him the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And as they climbed this mountain, the Bible tells us that he was transfigured before them. Now, folks have a lot of different ideas what that means, and every preacher in the world, I guess, has some input into what it represented. I'll tell you what it means to me. It means I don't know. But what they saw changed so drastically that it changed them. The Lord of Glory's appearance took away some of his fleshly being. And they saw the inner workings of deity in a man. His appearance changed. Perhaps a brief view or a small view of his glory was manifest in their eyes. And when Peter, as he was prone to do, responded in his flesh, God spoke to them. And he declared a high opinion of Jesus. Now you listen to me. People can say anything they want to. They'll brag on you one day and curse you the next day. They'll exalt you one day and put you under their feet the next day. But when God Almighty says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," you better understand that's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. God speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through His providence. He speaks to us by the Holy Ghost. But here, in this place, God explicitly speaks to these three disciples and calls them to attention with these three simple words, "Hear ye Him." I want to bring you a message this morning, if God will help me, that I have titled, "A Call to Attention." I've never been in the military, but I've been told by men who do that when that bugler blows that bugle, that folks immediately come to attention. When that DI walks into the barracks and kicks the trash cans over and screams for everybody to get up, that immediately everybody gets up. Well, I'm telling you, if God ever speaks to you, if He ever speaks to me, we better come to attention. Now, there are four questions that I want to try to answer this morning. First of all, why we ought to hear Him. The Lord of Glory, the God of Heaven, said to these three disciples, "Hear ye Him." And the first reason why we ought to hear Him is because if God speaks, He commands all of humanity with His words. I've had people say to me, "If I could just see a purple dragon walking down the street, I'd believe in God." You don't need a purple dragon. God said to you, hear ye him. Every messenger from God ought to have our attention. I tell you, I'm very conscious, whether you are or not, that God called me to preach. And he gave me a message to preach. And when God gives me a message and I preach it, you'd better pay attention to it. You better listen to it. You better respect it. And you better respect those servants that God has put in your midst. They are rapidly becoming a missing element. But the son requires more reverence than any servant. There are people in this country that they would bow down and kiss the feet of some preacher, and they care less what Jesus had to say. But God said, hear ye him. A heart that refuses to hear Christ, I don't care whatever else you say about them, they may have good morals and good human conduct and good fleshly attitudes, but they're evil and full of sin. When Christ speaks, he deserves to be heard. Now, there are some people, when they speak, it's just piddling. They just chatter. I was in a grocery store yesterday morning, and a man stopped me and started talking to me, and I was trying to get my business, and I had stuff to do. And he went on and on and on and on and on and on, and it wasn't none of it worth the time to be wasted to hear. Finally, I said, look, I've got to go. I've got things to do. But I'm telling you, if Christ ever speaks, he speaks to you through a man or through a mule, you better listen. You better listen. He speaks more clearly than anybody else. His character demands our attention and our respect. This is the God-man. This is the holy man. I hear preachers call each other holy men. What's foolishness? There are no holy men. There was only one holy man. And God said, hear ye him. If you won't hear the humble Jesus, then who will you hear? It amazes me who people listen to. They have such devout attention to all the voices of humanity, to politicians and philosophers and psychics and everything else. But God said, hear ye him. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be heard because it speaks not only of your present but your future well-being. His words are filled with abundant blessings, and they ought to be heard. If I hear on the news that you won the lottery and you won, $40, $50, $60 million, I'll be glad for you. But I can tell you one thing. If I ever hear on the news that I won $50 or $60 million, I'll be real excited. That's my blessing. And the blessing of every child of God, hear ye him. Christ comes from heaven with supreme authority to declare this glorious message of reconciliation. That we who were aliens, strangers from the covenant, have now been brought into his family, and by grace we're set free from the bondage of sin and prepared for heaven. He comes to tell souls how to avoid hell. Folks don't talk about hell much anymore, but I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people going there. There's a whole lot of folks going there. And they're going there because they deserve to go there. But he also comes to tell folks how to gain heaven. Hear ye him. Some of you last night perhaps were hearing the thunderstorms and the hailstorms and the rainstorms come through. And I thought about some of these pictures I've seen on television of the floods coming up the houses. I think I live on a hill, but it'd take a real flood to get to me. But it might happen. But I thought about that. What would I do? Well, the Son of God has come to tell us how to get to heaven. Hear ye him. He's a guide who has come to direct souls safely to the Father. One of the prominent errors in thinking among human beings is most people really believe that God's sitting on a throne and he's just waving all of you folks to come up there. You won't find that in the Bible. You're only coming in God's presence through Christ. You're not coming in your flesh. You're not coming in your corruption. You're not coming with a depraved heart, a corrupted mind, sin-sick souls. Hear ye him. Those who profess to be his disciples ought to hear him enthusiastically. You know, I used to play basketball for a coach that I thought he was the greatest man I'd ever had any deals with. He told me to run through a wall. I'd say, which where you want me to hit it? I don't know if I could run through a wall, but if he told me to, I'd try. And I have a master and a savior that whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to try to do. Our proper place is at his feet. Remember those two sisters? All these people came in the house and the Lord was there. And one sister, she was fixing beds and baking biscuits and cooking soup and this, that, and the other. And she finally went over to the Lord and she said, Lord, my sister hadn't done a thing. She'd been sitting there listening to you all day long. I need some help. And he said, there's a good part and a bad part. Your sister chose the good part. I'd rather sit at his feet than be a king on anybody else's throne. Disciples of Jesus Christ ought to be loyal to him and not to any other. We live in a country that has laws, has principles. I believe in the law. I try to abide by them. But if the law tells me to reject Christ, I'll say fooey on you. I think about this a lot as I get older. If the country I live in says you can't worship Jesus Christ, I'll find me a different country. Discipleship is proved by hearing him, who is our Lord. He's our Lord. You know, children, they tend to hear somebody else. They tend to hear another child. And it's a big lesson for children when they go to school and they have to learn to hear the teacher. I'm telling you, God said, hear ye him. Now, those people who are not his disciples and don't pay attention to him ought to. They ought to hear him in the day of grace and live. Because if they don't, if they refuse him and reject him and ignore him, then they can hear him speak in judgment. And they'll perish. I tell you, if there's any dead sinners here, I pray God will help you hear and heed the voice of the Good Shepherd. Second question we have to deal with is, what are we to hear? Hear ye him. Hear ye him. Not the politicians, not the philosophers, not the psychologists, not the counselors, none of those air brains on television. Hear him. Just simply hear ye him. This is the Christ who's the suffering sovereign. God says, hear ye him. He is the manifestation of God. He is greater than any sermon that was ever preached. I read a lot of preachers. And of all the preachers I read after, there's three or four that I really admire. But I would love to hear Charles Spurgeon preach one time. But you know what? I'd really hear Christ. Hear him speak with a voice that's like an infinite ocean with no boundaries. I like the ocean. I like to go to the ocean. I don't care about getting in the water. I don't want to get in the water. Sharks like fat boys. But I like to sit on the banks, on the rocks, watch those waves come in. Look at a boat out there that's about the size of my thumb, and if you sit there long enough, it'll get a great big. But I have been at the ocean when a storm was coming. And when the waves would be so loud and so boisterous, and the wind would be so harsh, that you couldn't hear yourself think. You better hear him. We must behold the divine justice of God in the message of his death. It's finished. It's finished. That's what he said. God said, hear ye him. He said, it's finished. Hear him declare the eternal perfection of all his redeemed. It's finished. The blessed Jesus speaks to his friends in so many ways. He instructs us. He teaches us about the ways of God. You read this book. That's why God left us this book. B-I-B-L-E. Basic instruction before leaving earth. This book tells you how to live. The Gospels and the epistles of Paul and Peter and John and others tell about his victorious intercession. He stood in our place. He took our guilt, and he bore the wrath of God in our behalf that we might have life. Hear Christ speak as the undefiled Word of God. You know, human beings have had creeds throughout their history of one kind or another. And one thing I can tell you about all human creeds, I was back there in my library this morning, I was looking for something. I've got to preach at a conference next month, and I started working on a message for it, and I was looking for some books, and I got all these different books of creeds and stuff, and I was looking for something in there. You know what I found out about human creeds? They're all about as worthless as a water bucket with no bottom in it. They're all faulty. They all got something wrong with them. Christ is the only true doctor of divinity. I can't speak for other men, I can speak for myself. If I was offered a doctor of divinity degree by a university, I'd tell them I didn't want it. No man's worthy of that title. The word doctor means a master. There's no one who's a master of divinity except the Son of God. No one else. Hear ye him. Oftentimes the word of God is not an instruction, it's a commandment. We must hear its declaration of the doctrines of grace and of the covenant promises that God's given us. Hear ye him. Our Mary gave those people at that wedding up in Cana of Galilee some real good advice. She opened her mouth too quick and the Lord had shushed her. And she turned around and told those servants there, whatever he says to you, do it. Hear ye him. You know, our lives would have good order if we followed his commandments. I don't know about you, but I'm going to confess I mess up. I intend to do things and don't do them. I make commitments to do things or not do things and I foul up. But our Lord tells us how to live. He gives us a message of consolation. When the Lord Jesus comforts us, it's wise to hear him. He'll dismiss all your fears. Trust him and look forward to his blessings. Someone not too long ago called me and they'd gotten some bad news from a doctor and they said, I'm afraid to die. And I said to them, are you trusting Christ? And they said, I don't know, I think so. I said, if you're trusting him, you have no reason to be afraid to die. Now, if you're not trusting him, you got every reason to be afraid to die. I'd avoid it at all costs. Look forward to his blessings. We must yield to his generous treatments. You read the Gospels. That's the reason I want you to read the Bible. You don't have to read the prophetical books and get all confused with Ezekiel's wheel and a wheel and all those characters that John talks about in the revelation of Jesus Christ. But read the Gospels. See our Lord at work. He comforted people. Lepers came to him and he touched them. Nobody had touched them for years and the Lord of glory touched them. Blind men said, Lord, give me my sight. And he did. A woman with an issue of blood for 18 years just touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Lazarus was dead. He said, come forth. He was so gracious. And he warns us to flee from God's coming wrath. We ought to come daily and hear his blessed message of hope. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah wasn't any better than anybody else in his day. He was a sinner just like everybody else. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he did what God told him. Treasure the words of this man who stands as our surety, as our guarantee, and rest completely in him. Nowhere else to rest. Nowhere. You can't rest. You young folks that are here, I know you trust your mamas and your daddies and your grandmas and your grandpas. Sometimes in the passage of time, they're going to go away. You better have something you can trust right now and in the future. We must treasure His words. We must plead with the Holy Spirit to write His words on our souls. There's a third question that needs to be answered. Not only when are we to hear and what are we to hear, but how are we to hear? How are we to hear? God just simply said, "Hear ye Him." Now, Jesus speaks to us by His Word. He speaks to us by His Spirit, and He speaks to us by His servants. I'll never forget the first funeral I ever preached. The man who had died, one of his sons told me before the service, he said, "Now, preacher, I want you to understand something. Don't you try to convert me. Don't you try to change me." I said to him, "Mister, I'm not trying to convert anybody. I hope God converts you, but I don't have the capacity to." God speaks to us by His servants. The people of God need to hear the Holy Spirit with great reverence. There are some people I hear with reverence. I think about my old friend David West. He died 3 or 4 years ago. He spent his whole life starting mission churches. Started about 35, I think, 38 in his life. He was an old man, 95, 96 years old, and I loved to talk to him. He made me feel like a kid. But he had such wise advice. I want to hear God that way. He speaks to His people words of great importance. You know, it's a gross sin when a person doesn't want to hear God's word. You don't have any excuse. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what you got going on. I don't care what you've got to do or what you don't have to do. You better hear God. And when He says, "Hear ye Him," you better listen. His word is never, never to be taken lightly. Now, Squirrel tells me things sometimes, and I don't pay much attention to them. I laugh about them, but I don't pay much attention to them. You better hear the word of God. And it shouldn't be taken with levity. Everybody laughs about what Jesus said. Everybody laughs about what Jesus did. Listen to me, His words are not laughing words. His words are serious words. Hear ye Him. They shouldn't be taken carelessly. I keep the television on in my study most of the time. I don't watch it, I just got it on. It just noise. To block out all the other noises I have around me. But every once in a while I hear a commercial and I think, that's so stupid. Who would believe that? But people rush out to the dollar store, the general store, the Kroger store, and they buy that stuff up. They don't listen carefully. We must also hear Him believingly. Now, some people are just troubled with doubts. They're full of fear. And to those people, God says, "Hear ye Him." He is to be believed uprightly. We're not to doubt him. We're not to protest what he says. I'm sick and tired of protests, aren't you? On the television news every night, somebody's protesting somebody. Maybe some of us deserve, but most of it's not. Folks are just going to protest. Maybe that's what I can do. I can get me a sign, march up and down the road, protest my neighbors. I doubt if anybody's paying any attention. The Lord's words are not to be questioned. They're not to be doubted. They're to be relied on. You can believe them. That's why God said, hear ye him. His declared accomplishments are fulfilled in his promises. The Father keeps his word to the covenant people. Everything that God says to his people, he'll keep it. He told Adam and Eve, I'm going to send one, and he'll crush that serpent's head. And he sent one. Hear his words and receive them with a compliant spirit. Just mold. My female bulldog's that way. She just like a bowl of jelly. She just like pat her on the head, you know. So she just wants you to pat her on the head and scratch her side and scratch her ears. And she just as mobile as she can be. Whatever you want to do, it's okay. That's the way we ought to be with Christ. Whatever he wants, it'll be okay. Oh, that we could hear with eagerness to do his bidding. Every time I come downstairs and I walk through the door and I go over to the gate in her room, if she's awake, which is not too often, she comes running to the gate and her tail, it's only about that long, but her tail's going like that, you know, she's just happy to see me. She's just happy to see me. She wants to hear what I got to say. I'm telling you, the Lord of glory has something for you. Hear ye him. The children of grace live in habitual submission to their Lord. There's no happiness without obedience. You can't butt heads with God and expect to be blessed. When the Lord Jesus leads, we must follow his guidance. No matter what people say, we must believe the truths of Christ even when nobody else appears to do so. A man called me about a month or so ago, a young man, his pastor down in another state, and he said, I'm calling you for advice. And I said, well, you must be hard up for advice. He said, no, seriously. He said, he told me what the problem was in the church where he was. And I said, well, you've got a simple problem. He said, you think it's simple? I said, yeah, I do. You need to do what God told you to do, or you can do what those people are telling you to do. One or the other. And then there's one other question that we need to answer. When are we to hear? God said, hear ye him. There's only one proper response to this question. Always. Always. There's some people you can believe sometimes, and other times you can't believe them. They all got priorities. They always got their own interest in things. But when the Lord of glory speaks to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, hear ye him. We must hear him when we're first brought to life. When God gave me life. when he regenerated me, I remember it as clearly as if it was 30 seconds ago. And I remember him saying, "Hear ye him." We must continue to learn from him in every step of our pilgrimage. I've walked a lot of miles in the last 45, 47 years. I've learned something from every step. Hear ye him. And old age comes to us. I don't want to burst your bubbles or anything. But now there's two or three of you here that's older than me. And I'm sure not a spring chicken. And sometimes life looks dark when you get old. Sickness comes. I wish y'all had made a movie of me the night that I passed out here. I'd like to see what I did because it was probably hilarious. But I tell you what, I thought about it a lot since then. I said, you know, I'm subject to do that any time. But so are you. So are you. We must trust him in seasons of trial, in seasons of temptation, in seasons of conflict. It's wise for believers to hear him every day and trust Christ every day. This world's a noisy place, but you need some quiet time with Christ every day. I don't care whether you do it in the morning or at night or when you do it, at lunchtime, whatever, but you need some time with Christ. We have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. And we pray for folks. But I'll tell you something, prayer meetings are inferior to private intercessions. God said to you as an individual, hear ye him. When we're weary, his words calm us and restore us. I've learned a lot about being weary in recent weeks. My only hope is him. I pray that God will unplug our ears and let us hear his voice. In God's due time, those who hear him are going to be delivered from this world of sorrow and anguish. And we're going to go and join him in heavenly glory. Hear ye him. In closing, let me leave you with three or four things. First of all, there are abundant and plentiful reasons to hear him speak. Plenty of reasons. He's God. That's all you need. We must hear his word constantly, and we must turn aside the wisdom of man for the truth of Christ. The Lord has designed and implemented the means for us to hear him. Hear ye him. We are to love constantly, but to have ears that are always tuned to his words. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. An old hymn writer once wrote these words, "Unfold, O Lord, to us unfold the wonders of the sacred page. The things by prophets sung of old and handed down from age to age. The things that Jesus said and did and all that from the world lies hid. The Spirit, not the letter, Lord, is what we ask, 'tis thine to give. There, Lord, to work thy sovereign will and all thy pleasure to fulfill." Hear ye. Amen.